Hello. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Connie Moore. I'm a Senior Vice President of Research at Digital Clarity Group, and I have a guest today who is one of the real experts in intranets. My guest is Kathy McKnight. She is a Vice President and co-founder of Digital Clarity Group and heads up our consulting practice. So we're going to talk today about intranet essentials. And I'm going to be posing some questions to Kathy, but we hope to have a lively discussion. And so Kathy, first of all, you know, when I hear the word intranet, I almost think, oh wow, this is a pretty old technology, and are people still doing this, or have we not come up with a more up-to-date way of sharing information and collaborating internally? Or are intranets lively and doing well, and I just have a sort of an unfair reaction when I hear the term?
Great question, Connie. So I think you're right on both fronts. So there's a lot of companies out there where intranet is a bad word. People hear the word and they go, ugh, and their eyes roll and they think, I've got to wade through all this old antiquated information, poor navigation, the design is ugly, they haven't touched it in years, and really not a tool that people are eager to use. That being said, there's a lot of really killer intranets out there that are just doing amazing things. You look at some of them, like Adobe has a great intranet, and some other companies where they've really embraced the changes of the external web. Integrating things like social, multi-channel access, instant messaging, interactivity, video, and really made it a place to go from work perspective. So I don't think their intranet is a bad word per se. It really is the most accurate way of reflecting it. There's other things like digital workspaces that really are a little bit different from an intranet, but they're still valid today. And I think a lot of companies are still really focused on delivering something that will help employees engage better and experience better work environment.
So is, you know, when I, to kind of follow up on this, wow, I've been listening to this term for over a decade. I tend to think of intranets as places where you put your internal content for corporate communication, things that you want to share, and so it's almost a dumping ground for content. Let's say you're a company and that's what you've got, and you think, you know, this isn't really working, no one's going there, the information isn't particularly relevant to anyone. What do you do? Shoot it and start over? How do you go from that kind of backwards looking view to something that's really current, that helps the workforce, that's more vibrant and collaborative, and a place where employees are eager to spend time?
I think there's multiple ways of doing it. So, you know, Digital Clarity Group helps companies work forward in evolving their intranet. Sometimes it's a rip off the Band-Aid approach and you do a cut over to a whole new environment, new technology, new design, new information architecture. Everything about it is new. Other companies take a more paced approach and provide a transition. So adding new elements while turning one thing on and turning something else off. But I think there's some essential components to an intranet that regardless of whether you're going big bang and starting afresh or whether you're doing a more paced and staggered evolution that all companies need to take into consideration. One of those things is, you know, first and foremost, it's an engaging design. You look at the external web today, the sites and channels that people are interacting with, be they social or be it the web, they're amazing. The design that goes into web pages now is truly astonishing from a visual acuity perspective. So you look at some of the rules that have changed, you know, no longer is it required or even sometimes considered about keeping things above the fold. You look at the scrolling nature of content today. Now, I don't know necessarily if that's something that'll be adopted from an internet perspective, because again, people are going there to get specific information and they want quick access. So are they likely to go, you know, scroll down pages and pages to get to the bottom of something that's hidden? Probably not, but they want to see an engaging design. They want to see companies paying as much attention to making things look good for them as they do for their external audience.
Right. So what I think might help us move the discussion forward is if you could describe, and you don't even have to name names, but could you describe maybe one or two intranet sites that you've seen deployed that are just kind of ideal? It's like, wow, if you can do that, you will have really, really done something that's kind of pushing the capabilities of what an intranet can do.
Sure.
So some company, some example.
Sure. So, I mean, like I said, there's a lot of companies out there doing great work from an internal web perspective. And I think some of the common elements that they all engage, so rather than talk about one, I can talk about some of the core elements that these companies are using. So apart from an engaging design, it's keeping content up to date. I remember I coded one of my company's first intranets, and it was really a lot of titles that linked out to documents and presentations and spreadsheets. And they weren't updated. We just kept adding things to them, right? And unfortunately, today there's a lot of organizations who, you know, once something's up on the intranet, it's there forever. And it clutters up the space and it creates noise and it makes it difficult for employees to find the accurate, most up-to-date information. So, you know, companies that are doing it right are tending to their intranets. They have someone who is taking responsibility for ensuring the currency and accuracy of the content on the site. And that can be one or multiple people across the organization. But I think that's really something that, above all else, is making sure that the content is up to date and relevant. Another element is that's really important, especially with today's uber-connected lifestyles of people, is the ability to connect and collaborate with each other, with colleagues. So a lot of organizations haven't quite got to the point where they have true collaboration via the internet. They may have access to tools and systems that allow employees to collaborate. But one of the things that I think really make a difference is that ability to connect with employees, with each other. So whether that is having the employee directory and having being able to click through and open up an instant messaging window and be able to connect with them directly, whether it's click their name from a byline on an article or content ownership to be able to send them an email, or it opens up their employee profile within the directory, it's the ability to reach out and speak with the employees that have the information that people are looking for, and to be able to contribute to that. I think that's essential. One of the things, again, that it's a common trait is that continuous improvement. So it's not that they've launched their intranet 2 years ago and nothing on it has changed. Much like their external site, those successful intranet environments or internal sites are really, they're always evolving, they're moving forward. So they're not necessarily keeping pace with what's going on externally as far as a channel and feature and function perspective, but certainly evolving. So adding new things, responding to the changing work environment. We have five generations of workers in organizations today. That's the most we've ever had. And trying to ensure that there is content and appeal both from a visual perspective, from a content perspective, interactivity, and what it has to offer to all five of those generations is a challenge. And you're going to have to constantly be moving it forward.
Well, what I wanted to ask is shifting away from the actual functionality of the internet for a moment. Where does it typically reside within an organization? Is this something that IT keeps up to date and has a team that's dedicated to? Is it HR or maybe internal communications coming from some sort of communications group? within the organization? Who normally has the ownership of this?
Quite often when the organization is large enough to have a corporate communications defined role or department, that's who owns it. But often it's co-owned, and that's actually a good thing. So you want a vested interest across the board. I think the most important thing is that it is owned, regardless of who it is, whether it's corporate communications, whether it's human resources, whether it's IT, someone needs to own it. My recommendation is always to step back and look at who has the capability to drive it forward. Quite often that's corporate communications. So corporate communications owning the overall strategy for the intranet. Of course, HR plays a huge role from a content perspective because, of course, above all else, employees want to be able to go to the intranet and find things like about their benefits, about paydays, when holidays are, policies and procedures and that kind of thing. So HR's involvement is really important. And then, of course, you want ownership of the technology from an IT perspective. You don't want this to be just another platform that you get bumped in the queue because other platforms take priority as far as being tended to. You want to set up an ownership relationship with the IT department so that if something goes wrong or if you need help or you want to move it forward and evolve it, that there's a point person there who owns the intranet technology and it's part of their responsibility to make sure that it is being taken care of as much as, say, you know, the CRM or the ERP system.
You know, while you were talking, I was sort of thinking through the different roles and responsibilities in an organization and who would get a lot of benefit from an intranet, like taking an executive perspective. So if I were running an HR organization, I would think an intranet or that type of capability would be essential for just getting information out so that it's accurate, that it's quick, that everyone has access, and that you don't break any laws or regulations or corporate policies or corporate guidelines. So this is an important administrative tool. But it's kind of hard to get people lined up behind that whenever you think about, I'm going to invest in and plan for and put resources into an administrative tool. If you're running HR, it's important. If you're running sales, you know, those guys don't pay attention to the rules anyway. right? Then I was thinking about if you're running a research organization, and let's say you were researching some new breakthrough technology design or some new breakthrough chemical design or something like that, and how having a place to put your research notes and put all your diagrams and put your collaboration discussions and having all of that, that's like of huge corporate value. That's an asset because that's where your intellectual property is going. And it's where you don't want to lose ideas. You want to keep them. You want to, you know, be able to backtrack and find things. So would that mean that it would be reasonable to have lots of intranet in an organization with lots of different individual owners and they think of it as their island and that they get excited about? Maybe nobody else does, but they do. Or is that just, you know, like a recipe for disaster?
It's an interesting question because so many companies struggle with that. What's happened I've seen of late, particularly, and of late I mean of, you know, over the last five to maybe 10 years, is that because the intranet is traditionally underfunded, and it's the first thing cut from the budget every single time because of course it's looked upon as a bottom line sucker as opposed to contributor, right? It's just costing money. What is it actually doing for us? And because the availability of technology has become so prolific and easy to access, you know, anybody can spin up a WordPress site in a matter of minutes, literally. So companies and departments within companies are going through workarounds, and they're creating their own site for just exactly what you're talking about, for their own very specific tailored needs. But what's happening there, particularly in an organization that has more than one location, you're further dissecting the availability of that information. And again, diluting the ability to share that information, and therefore costing the company money. One of the first things we always do when we go in and work with an organization is say, you know, what are your organizational goals and objectives at the highest level? And how can we structure and position the internet so that it's supporting that? And things like ROI, which, you know, traditionally are very difficult to prove, because of course you can always attribute it to something else. But things like being able to connect all of your research departments, whether it's across the country, whether it's across the world or around the world, to share what people are working on, you think about the duplication of effort that is then redacted because people are aware that they're working on the same thing, and they're able to collaborate better and save time and save money. So there really is a contribution to the company from that perspective. So I'm a huge advocate of centralizing the environment, but decentralizing the contribution and management of those areas. So let people who have the resources and the time and the commitment to maintain the areas, give them the power to post, but keep it all within the same environment so people can find things. If it's off on its own platform or a separate solution, it doesn't do the company any good, because it's only those people who have access to it that then benefit from that information.
Right. So look at this from different layers, and the technology enablement and the day-to-day operations of the technology would be centralized, and maybe guidelines and best practices would be disseminated centrally, but then the content owners have the freedom and latitude to do what they need for their particular group that this is, you know, supporting. Would that be one way to say it?
Absolutely, yeah. So, you know, from a governance structure perspective, you have, you know, a couple of models. You have the centralized, which is everything goes through one central internet body, and nobody can post directly, nobody can publish, hit the publish button, except for that group. In a decentralized environment, you still have that internet group that's responsible for, like you said, the guidelines, the policies, the procedures, making sure that brand is being maintained and protected and those kind of things. But then you're giving everybody who needs it or wants it from a departmental or a functional level access and the ability to manage their own content area. And then you, of course, have the hybrid version, which is we're working with an organization right now where they have some business units. Absolutely. They have the wherewithal and the people to be able to maintain their content. But there's other parts of the business. They don't have a corporate communications individual. So it would fall to some admin who has many other responsibilities. And you just can't be sure that guidelines and whatnot are going to be adhered to, or that they're going to keep the site up to date. So better to keep it within a centralized group whose job it is to make sure that the internet is amazing and it has everything that it needs, and that each of the business units have fair shake at getting the content up that they need.
Right. So I think that that's a good way to start thinking about your internet if you're either replacing something that you've had for a long time, let's say Lotus Notes or something like that. You're trying to move to something that's more current, but how do you get going? These are some important things to be thinking about: centralized, decentralized, who owns it, who owns the infrastructure, who owns the content, how do you manage the updates, how do you want it to look and feel. All of those are essential things for getting started. Is there any other essentials that we want to make sure we surface in this discussion?
Well, we talked about, you know, making sure there's an engaging design, keeping your content up to date, facilitating the connection of colleagues, making sure they're able to find each other, the continuous improvement, One of the things too that people have to consider is access from anywhere. We're in a very mobile world these days, and one of the things that companies have been slower to adopt is mobile access to their intranet. So they get concerned with security, obviously. How do you skinny up often such a huge site to make it mobile ready? So having a mobile site versus just putting the entire site accessible via mobile, so creating a separate site, which is an added cost, which again, an underfunded environment already, you're now asking for more. And then, you know, the appification of the intranet. So what do you provide via a mobile site versus what do you turn into an app? Something like an employee directory, you know, in my opinion, absolutely should be an app. Something that people can have on their phones and on their tablets that they can access immediately to find their colleagues. You know, absolutely have it protected, but that's something that it will enable them to do their job better. So I think, you know, the last thing would be the mobile access and how to successfully do that.
Yeah, so we're going to explore that in our next podcast. When we look at the changing needs of the internet, we're going to look at specifically what does today's mobile environment and tomorrow's increased use of a mobile as your primary device rather than your laptop even. How does that impact the internet? And I'm interested also in electronic file sync and share. Is that a poor man's intranet? Is that intranet of the future? Or do we just dispense with all this talk altogether and just it's really just a search problem? So the way I used to manage file folders in my email, and I realized I was spending all this time making my file folders logical and that I didn't need to. I could just search. And Google does a fine job of finding what I need, and I don't have to manage the file folders anymore. So we're going to talk about all of that and more in our podcast. But I think today we've done a really good job of identifying the essential things to be thinking about as you plan for your next intranet or as you look at moving your intranet to a more effective tool for your workforce. So, Kathy, thank you very much. Greatly appreciated.
My pleasure.